Please join me in this episode as I welcome Marina Lavochin, a dating and relationship coach. We dish about the world of dating, and we cover texting, ghosting, plus dating wardrobe tips, and much, much more. Enjoy the show. Welcome to Real Souls with Peggy Bennett. Today, I'm super excited to have with us Marina Lavochin. She's a dating and relationship coach, and I'm super excited about this because one of my passions is talking about dating and relationships. Myself being a matchmaker and a dating coach, life coach, I don't always get an opportunity to talk with another dating coach, so we are going to have fun together. Welcome, Marina.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Great. How did I do with your last name?
Great.
Oh, good.
You did awesome. Yeah.
So I first want to ask you, this is kind of one of my introduction questions that I tend to ask a lot of my guests because I'm always so fascinated. How did you get to be a dating coach? What inspired you to do that? What's your journey on that?
It's kind of a long story. I mean, I think all of us have different unique ways of getting to where we end up. Mine actually started when I was in San Francisco. This has been, I've been doing this for almost 7 years now.
Oh, great.
So I was in San Francisco in a relationship and where I found myself changing and not for the better. So I started diving into relationship books, seminars, YouTube videos, and really figuring out what was happening with me. My self-esteem was, you know, going downhill. And I found myself to be very, like, my relationship was top of mind, where, and I couldn't focus on anything else. So I started reading a lot. And one book that really changed my life was Attached.
Yes, I've read that.
So, and I found myself, and I was, you know, secure, attachment style, my entire life, and all of a sudden, I started becoming anxious. So, it, you know, opened up kind of Pandora's box for me, and I started researching, and obviously, that relationship ended, and I moved to Seattle, got back into the fashion world, and that knowledge was still, you know, always kind of alive inside me. And I saw, once you notice patterns and, you know, with all this new knowledge, you start seeing things with a different perspective. So I started getting a lot of questions from friends, family, et cetera. And I've always been kind of the go-to advice giver. So now equipped with all of this relationship knowledge and my own personal journey, I started giving more advice and recognizing patterns in people's relationships. And I decided I wanted to work for myself. So I started as a stylist, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I went to a couple social networking events and, you know, created a business card and started promoting myself. Got 6 clients my first event, and they were all men, actually.
Oh, wow.
And we started, you know, just with a personal styling session and would go grab a drink afterwards to celebrate the new wardrobe. And I started getting all these relationship-related and, you know, dating questions. So it naturally progressed into me just becoming a dating coach. And I actually prefer to work with men. And, you know, obviously Seattle is full of guys who are very logical, methodical, and just need a little boost of confidence and someone who, you know, coaches them from the sidelines. So
I love that. That's a great story. So what is, there probably are several, but what is one or two or three things that commonly are asked from men? I'm so fascinated to know this. What's kind of a common thing? Because most of our listeners are going to be women and they would love to know this.
Well, the biggest question that remains unanswered is, what do women want?
The million-dollar question.
Yes. And I think it's, nobody really knows, especially women. So, but, you know, in addition to that is, what am I doing wrong? Why am I getting the same result? What can I do differently? And this is where it's really interesting, because I don't, and this is, my coaching isn't, you know, hourly, for example, because you can't know someone's personal journey and mm-hmm. their struggles with just by either chatting on, you know, Facebook Messenger for a couple of minutes or getting in front of them for an hour.
Right.
It takes way longer.
Mm-hmm.
So my coaching is actually for 90 days where we, you know, I tell them we become BFFs pretty much. So I get to figure out exactly what their patterns are, what they do wrong, and they have to be very open with me. So every single conversation, I get screenshots of every single interaction, they describe and tell me exactly what happened. And then I'm able to give advice and feedback. And I offer perspectives. It's not, I don't have a solution to every problem. I just offer possible suggestions and ideas of maybe what happened from her perspective and what he could do differently.
I love it. And these are men who are dating online or meet women IRL in real life?
These are men who have tried online dating and have been in previous relationships and are struggling or not getting, maybe they're not struggling, they're getting a lot of matches, but they're not the quality of matches that they would like.
Okay, okay.
So something is getting in the way of their results.
Okay. With the 3 months where they're sharing the texting, et cetera, is that, are they online?
Well, yes.
They're meeting online.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So what let's, we're going to just throughout this time, we're going to have fun and just talk about topics. Okay. Just mm-hmm. freestyle between you and I.
Sure.
Okay. So one thing is the whole ghosting.
Yes.
Yes. So what are your thoughts about that?
I think women tend to ghost a lot more than men, in my opinion. But, you know, I only see a very limited amount of what really happens out there mm-hmm. because I work with people who actually want to improve and want to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So my feedback is there's a lot of women who get online, and especially Tinder or Bumble, when they're, you know, feeling sorry for themselves,
mm.
you know, hang out with their cat, drink a bottle of wine. Let's see what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really in a good mindset to really get into a healthy relationship. So the whole, I'm going to swipe right on everyone who's cute and then get matched up, but never do anything about it, happens all the time. And these men who put in all this effort and they really want to meet someone amazing mm-hmm. and they just get frustrated, especially with Bumble where the woman has to make, you know, the first move.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard because they invest so much energy into this process. And then these women who potentially could be great matches are not responding and not doing anything about it.
And are you seeing a pattern when the ghosting appears? Is it before it even leads into a date, or is it post-date, or all across the board?
I find that the women who take a long time to even initiate the conversation or respond later on, even if it does turn into possibly a relationship, you know, go on 3, 4, 5 dates, they are consistently very, you know, they ghost for days, weeks, and then reappear. So possibly they're very moody and they're not really sure if they're ready to date, or there's multiple men who take their attention, mm-hmm. and then they start feeling sorry for themselves again and go for the nice guy and start talking to the nice guy again. This is something that, you know, I do coach some women, and this is what I yell at them about all the time. it's so unfair for, you know, the guys who are putting in all this effort. They're being assertive. They're scheduling all these dates, and the women are just so wishy-washy.
That's interesting perspective, because I come from a different perspective, and I've been ghost before, actually. Mm-hmm. And one thing I have done is I just am right out there, and I'm like, oh, well, I see that you're ghosting me. And immediately they text me back, oh, no, I'm not ghosting. So I don't know if it's so much as far as generalizing it with the sexes, but I can see, obviously, with you working with mainly men, how that could be. And talk to me about your age range of men that you work with.
All over.
Okay.
Yeah, my youngest client was 19 and my oldest was 78.
Oh, wow. Okay. You do the range.
Yeah. But the majority are 32 to 40, I would say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about who pays for the date.
The guy. Absolutely.
Okay.
But it can't be in a situation where the woman assumes it. So you do have to offer to pay. The woman still has to be, you know, polite about it.
It's a nice courtesy to offer.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But definitely the guy has to schedule the date, pick the place, typically, unless, you know, she absolutely hates it and has other recommendations. But I find also where the men would lead with, let me buy you a drink, you know, asking a girl out, let me buy you a drink or let me buy you dinner. I hate that because it makes the woman feel obligated, first of all, and it starts the relationship, possible relationship, on the wrong foot, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to buy her time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like both people should be seeing if there's a spark in chemistry and one drink is enough obligation. And if it doesn't, if there is no spark and you leave, you know, saying, hey, thanks for coming out, then you should definitely split the bill. But if there is potential and if you are interested, the guy should definitely pay.
Mm-hmm. And then now, how about you were mentioning that you were a stylist, and do you still do that?
My 90-day package includes styling. So I go to all my clients' houses and go through their closet. They have to try everything on for me. And then we make 3 piles, you know, things that you could keep that look good, things that need to be altered, and things that you should never wear again.
Okay. So we have similar backgrounds. So I worked at Nordstrom for 20 years.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went into independent styling. And that is like therapy for me. I love doing closet edits. I just think that's so fun. So I've done that same thing. I really, really enjoy it. It's just a sense of creativity. So I love on your website that you actually have some essential pieces for men. Do you want to go over that real quick?
Sure. I mean, it's really simple. I think that, you know, a great pair of well-fitting jeans, maybe in a dark wash gray, some button-up shirts, some t-shirts, and a blazer is a must-have. Because when a guy puts on a blazer, he instantly carries himself differently.
Mm-hmm.
And women notice the guy in a blazer from miles away.
Mm-hmm. And I love when I've always said to men, there's only so many things that you can set yourself apart on, whereas women have makeup, accessories. For men, a great watch and fun novelty socks and great pair of shoes. Women look at shoes.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Those are great accessories. You know, maybe some sunglasses. Scent is really huge too.
Yes. So yes.
A great cologne is really important.
Applied properly so
yes.
that it's not too powerful, right?
Yes. Yes. Nobody needs to smell you after you leave.
And then what are your thoughts as far as women, as far as their wardrobe? Any staple items that you suggest?
You know,
for their dating
wardrobe?
It
took me about 20 minutes to put together the men's essentials, and I started writing the women's essentials, and I've spent probably 3 hours so far on that blog post, and it's still in draft mode. It's so complicated. It's so hard because it all depends on their lifestyle, what they're comfortable in.
Absolutely.
I think women don't wear enough dresses. My go-to is a long sleeve pencil dress that's just slightly past the knees that you could, you know, accessorize really well and wear to a really dressy event.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could, you know, wear with some chucks and call it good.
I am guilty, as charged. I'm totally, and I'm wearing them today, denim. So, and here we are in the Northwest. I'm always like, got to have a great pair of jeans that you can dress up. Well, one thing you'd probably agree with me on is wearing a heel.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
On a first date.
Yes.
Yeah. It elongates your legs, makes you look and feel sexy. Mm-hmm. So that's a must have.
Comfortable shoes, though. Comfortable
yes.
heels
yes.
that you can walk in.
Right. Right.
There's nothing worse than seeing a woman who can't walk in the heels.
don't just like buy them that day and try
yeah.
to wear them in.
Or if you've never worn heels, please don't go for the 5 inches and look like a baby giraffe walking.
That's true. That's true. You got to have that confidence.
Yes.
Yes. That's a very good point.
Practice. Yeah. Practice is very important.
So let's see. Let's go on the topic of texting.
Yes.
Yes.
It gets so, really fun.
What has your experience been with your clients?
Well, texting, I have a lot of rules when it comes to texting. If you meet online, the guy should definitely, and things are going well, and you have plans, he already asked you out, and to solidify plans, I prefer taking it to texting. So give her your number and she could reply with giving him your number, and then he has to make the first move and, you know, take it offline. First of all, it kind of makes the relationship progress because you're now offline and she's not still on the dating app. You're kind of initiating to say, hey, I don't want you on Tinder or Bumble anymore. Let's take this to the next level.
Okay, we're going to pause right now. So let's scoop back. How do you know to take it to that level? Have you made kind of a connection in some way?
Well, yes. I think within 4 or 5 message exchanges,
okay.
you know whether you're going to meet.
Okay.
Or not.
It's just good for our listeners to be.
Yes.
Yeah. Be specific about this.
And obviously you're on a dating app for a reason. You're not there to just chat with some stranger. You want to meet in person. So
yeah, some people do like to chat and it doesn't go forward. So that's why it's good that we clarify this.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I teach the guys to take it to asking her out on a date. You have to almost, like, subconsciously throw in there, like, okay, so tell me more about yourself. If I was to take you out on a date, what would you order? What are you, a wine, beer, or cocktail girl?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're already saying, hey, I see us having beverages. What
right.
would you like?
Right.
What kind of place can I pick out for our actual meeting?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So... And if the guy is super chatty, for the woman to say, oh my gosh, this, you know, I would love to answer all these questions, but I'd love it more over a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, remind him, hey, You know, I don't have time to waste online. I don't know you. But, you know, if there's chemistry, I would love to talk about all my goals and hobbies and et cetera.
In person.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Hear that, ladies? So these are good tips.
Okay. Get to the first date ASAP.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you're wasting so much time. And you are also removing the body language component, which is the key. 90% of our communication is through body language. And here we are texting and interpreting the conversation of, you know, with Mr. Dream Guy.
I had that post-divorce. I remember texting a guy for 2 days. If you can believe that, back to back. And I just was having all this chemistry with him. And I guess it was because of our schedules that we couldn't set up a date right away. Mm-hmm. We finally did. And let me tell you, it's not always the same. It creates a false sense of yes. intimacy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I really was excited to meet him. And I met him and he was completely different than what I imagined.
Because you were reading the text exchanges with, you know, in fantasy land.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't reality.
Yeah.
And so many, I find my female clients do that way more than the guys, where you're just super excited and you talk about everything for weeks sometimes. And all of a sudden, you meet and there's nothing. And they're like, well, what changed? What happened? He was so amazing over text.
Yeah, it is that false sense of intimacy. And you're right. I can see why women are more guilty of that.
And same thing happens also with some guys are just horrible with texting. And in person, they're totally funny and obnoxious and hilarious and, you know, very intriguing. But they're horrible over text. So for the girl, for the woman to be uninspired by the conversation online, but the photos and everything, like he looks amazing on paper, give him a chance. Still.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Now, do you take it to talking on the old-fashioned telephone prior to the date? Do you coach that or does it depend on the guy? Or
I think it depends on the guy and the woman. I really dislike talking on the phone.
You personally?
Yeah. I'm not a phone person. I think because I talk so much on the phone, it's an I view it as like work. Mm-hmm. I would much rather sit in front of someone for 15 minutes and talk in person versus the phone. Because then, you know, you're stuck on there for 4 hours. And again, it's not as extreme with the whole fantasy land, but it's still, you're painting a picture of someone that is probably not reality.
Mm-hmm. So for your guys, it's just get them in front on a date.
Yes.
As soon as possible.
If you're very uncertain about someone and don't want to, let's say they live like an hour away and you don't have the time or you don't want to travel that much because you're not sure how well you're going to get along, then schedule a phone call. But don't just randomly call them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest pet peeve. Like, you know, someone calls and then doesn't leave a voicemail and then you're like, what do you want?
So one thing that kind of is such an important thing is what I find in my matchmaking industry is, and when I'm coaching people, is keeping the momentum alive.
Yes.
Don't you feel that way? It's so, so important.
Especially between the first and second date.
Thank you. I was going to say the same
key.
Thing.
And people, oh my gosh, it is, yeah, it's unreal. Because let's say, you know, my strategy is meet in person, 20, 30 minutes tops, see if there's chemistry, and start talking about your real first date. Do something fun. Do something active. Start making plans. But you can't just make those plans and then disappear for 2 weeks just because your schedules don't align.
Right.
because then she's going to look back and be like, I'm not sure how much fun we really had. Who is this person? Did I enjoy myself? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And she's going to flake most of the time, unless you really stood out.
Right. And so that is a lot of people say, oh, the texting, there's do's and don'ts with texting. But a lot of people are pretty negative with texting. That is where texting is super important, is because texting can help that momentum between the first and second date.
I think that texting can add a lot of value and paint a picture of your life to this person and showcase your personality more. So even though you should definitely spend way more time together in person, I think that sharing little bits of pieces about your day and, again, sharing instead of just random, how's your day going? Hope you're having a great day.
Right.
That
right.
adds no value. There's nothing there.
Right.
And you're asking, like, tell me about your day. No, I spent 20 minutes with you. I'm not going to sit there and text you. You know, there's no value to that text.
Right.
And you're asking for something from this person.
Right.
So instead, look to add value to someone's life. Either there's maybe a joke that, you know, is relevant to whatever conversation you had over the first date, or something that reminded you of them. You could snap a picture of it, or
I was just going to say pictures are great.
Something that is, you know, related to getting to know each other more.
Right.
But look to add value instead of asking for something.
No, that's perfect. But because in the real world, there are so many busy professionals and they do travel for work, and it's hard sometimes to get one date right after the other. So that's when the texting, or I always say that's also when you can have that conversation over the phone in between those two dates, two dates, because it's so vital.
Yeah, definitely.
So what other hot topics are out there that you, like you were saying, I love the fact, I wish I could see them for myself. You say your clients take screenshots of the text. Like, what kind of questions come up, or what kind of discussions do you have with your bachelors?
My bachelors, I think escalating the conversations is... It's hard. The bachelors are kind of really doing really well right now, so it's not really top of mind for me. I think the women right now in my world are struggling more.
Okay, so talk to me about
that. So with my female clients, I'm finding that a lot of women, from, again, my perspective, are really scared to be themselves and be honest and upfront.
Afraid of rejection.
Just being real. I think that, they're maybe afraid of rejection, or they just want to, you know, we're givers. So they want to do and give this image of who they think the guy wants instead of being true and honest. And really communicating what they want out of the relationship. And they expect the guy to lead, but they're not telling the guy exactly what their expectations and standards are.
Okay.
So
give me for instance.
Using an example, let's say you start a conversation with someone you're really interested in on Bumble, and you start with a funny.
So this is a female
creating
for those
banter.
That don't
yes.
know Bumble.
Yes,
women have to take the first move.
Yeah. Yes, with Bumble, the woman starts the conversation, and I recommend just pointing something out in there, finding something funny or that you could. Pick on the guy in their profile and commenting on it. Like, let's say they are wearing a pink shirt or something. Like, oh, I love a man in pink. Winky face. So that creates...
I love that. Playfulness.
Yes. Banter. And that's a perfect opportunity for the guy to say, oh, you should see my purple one. Or, you know...
Right.
okay, great. I'll wear that for our first date. What kind of girl are you? Are you into wine, cocktails, beer? And that creates some chemistry. But if the woman just responds to the questions and doesn't take the conversation where she wants it to go, she gets frustrated. And she's like, well, I think he's just a player. He's not asking me out. I think he's here just for fun. And, you know, it's very easy to play the victim card and just lose interest instead of taking ownership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, or if you're going on multiple dates with the guy and he's always expecting you to, maybe you live in Seattle and he lives in Bellevue, and he's always making plans and you're always driving to Bellevue. Because, you know, guys are sometimes oblivious completely. They're like, oh, I'm busy, mm-hmm. but Bellevue is great. I love all these places. I'm familiar with, you know, the bartenders, and I know the vibe that maybe she would like. And the woman gets frustrated because she's like, well, why am I always driving over there?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't he? But she's never said anything about it. And he may not even think.
Right. He can't read her mind.
Yeah, yeah. That it's a big deal.
Right. Right.
He thinks he's doing all this, you know, he's familiar with the places and he's picking out restaurants or bars or settings that she, you know, he is familiar with and knows she would have a great time at.
Right. Right. So his intentions are good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if she doesn't bring it up or say, okay, well, how about you drive to me this time,
mm-hmm.
in a fun, like, point it out, not in an aggressive way.
Right.
But say, hey, I'd love it if you maybe, instead of going to a bar, how about you come over here and help me cook dinner for us?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, if she's frustrated that they're always going out.
Right, right.
I want to see your cooking skills.
Yeah,
something flirty.
I love that.
I feel like it doesn't need to be so serious, especially mm-hmm. over text. Just mm-hmm. be flirty.
Exactly.
Guys need the feminine energy.
Yes, yes. Amen. I love it. Yeah. Fun and flirting and playfulness.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And you can still portray the same exact message, but you give them, you motivate them to actually do it instead of being the naggy, you know, nagging.
Right.
You
Which
know,
would be a turn
approach.
Off.
Because he's going to read it and be like, oh, man, I'm doing something wrong. She's unhappy with me.
Mm-hmm,
and instead, mm-hmm. you could say it in a flirty way, and he's like, ooh, dinner sounds amazing. What should we make? And, mm-hmm. you know, his mind starts going, and he's like, oh, she likes me. Smiley face.
So with these, what did you say, 7 years that
yeah.
you've been doing this?
Mm-hmm.
What are a couple things that you really have learned about men?
That
have, I guess, surprised you.
They're simple creatures. they're really compared to women, they're really easy to please.
We're laughing because we're looking at Nick. Bless his heart, he's sitting here in the Cloud Studios helping us out here today. Simple but awesome creatures, yes.
Yes, and they just want to make the woman of their choice happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not as complicated as we make it.
What do you think, Nick? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Yeah. Women tend to complicate things a little.
Yes, and jump to conclusions. But it's all about the energy, too. You know, it has to be fun and flirty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we can't expect the guy to always create that environment for banter, for flirtiness, for even being, you know, a little more sexy, too.
The mindset is so powerful. When someone comes into my office and is I'm interviewing them and we're just talking, whether it's matchmaking or online dating, or just in real life meeting people, if they have just kind of that burnout attitude, I'm just like, you know what? Take a break from it. It's not worth it, because your mindset, your energy is so much, even down to, like you say, the sexiness part of it. And especially with the playful, you have to have fun. You have to have fun when you're in the dating environment.
Yes.
Yeah, because it will show, and it obviously really shows if you're not having fun, and it ends up being a domino effect, and that's kind of a time just to take a break, and I think breaks are really healthy and natural to take.
Definitely. And I think especially if the woman, I want to focus on the women because it's a lot, I've found that it's a lot more difficult for the woman to get her mind in the right place right before the date, even no matter how many coaching calls right before the date we've done, it's still that energy is really hard to change really fast. So don't go on the date, I would say. If you're really in a bad place and you are looking for validation that all guys suck, you'll find it.
I know. Isn't that the truth? I always say there's so many of my clients who are these females that are so amazing, wonderful, successful, beautiful inside and out women. And they have, a lot of them have powerful positions, what they do. And I'm always like, keep your corporate work hat at the office and come. I love what you said about wearing dresses. Bring out that feminine part of you on a date. And I don't mean to change yourself, not at all. Just bring out that feminine part of you, because sometimes it's hard for women to switch gears from that CEO role to on a date. And men love to be that masculine part where they get to treat for the dinner. It makes them feel good, and you bring out that positive feminine energy. But it's a definite mind switch, especially if it's on a Thursday night, your date. So that's really important.
Yeah, I always tell women to bring out their sex kitten, whatever that means to them. You know, red lipstick works like magic. I think women are so lucky that we have all of these tools that we could use to make us respond and act differently. Mm-hmm. You know, guys are, you know, blazer, different pair of shoes, whatever. Maybe, you know, different hairstyle. They could change how they feel about themselves. But for women, you know, there's so much opportunity. You know, putting on a great lingerie. Nobody has to see it, but you carry yourself so differently.
Right, right.
Heels work like magic. You know, I call them little hacks. Right. Because then you carry yourself completely with a different energy. And only you know that. And only you control that.
And I feel the sexiest thing is your inner self being your authentic self and being confident and knowing yourself. And I think that's one of the sexiest things you can do.
Absolutely.
Also.
And I think using those hacks consistently when you want to change maybe your attitude, you could still put on, you know, yoga pants later on and still have the mindset of, I want to be sexy right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And switch that. And
you're
switch
rocking
to
it
that.
Today, girlfriend.
Yeah. See, I mean, you get to a place where you don't need those hacks, but they're fun.
Right.
But you could still, you know that you could take yourself there.
I know. You're rocking in your yoga pants, I have to say.
Thanks. They're kind of sexy. There's like some little see-through
patches.
They are,
with your peekaboo back. Yeah, I notice. Okay, you are so fun to talk to. I cannot wait to have you back already, because I already have some more things that I want to chat with you about. But in the interest of time, we're going to start wrapping up. I do have my question that I ask all of my guests is, what makes you feel most alive, Marina?
Coffee. No, but what makes me most alive is really the opportunity to awaken people, to offer a different perspective. And maybe I feel like I see a different side of them that they haven't seen in a long time. Mm. And that's what I try to bring out. I even got a tattoo that says awaken on it.
Oh,
just
I love
as
that.
A reminder of what my purpose is. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Gosh. Well, thank you so much. It's been so much fun having you here.
I had a blast.
And thank you for listening. Please remember to subscribe and share Real Souls with Peggy Bennett.